The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe. Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. Of course, we've had some great guests stop by lately. The band Pavements, also actress Troyan Belisario. You know her from Pretty Little Liars. She's also on call now on Prime Video. We talk with Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes, Desi Leidick of The Daily Show, Kim Deal of Breeders and Pixies, Colin Greenwood of Radiohead, Maynard James Keenan of Tool, Les Claypool of Primus, Patrick Gibson, who stars as Dexter in Dexter Original Sin, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction, Pearl Jam's Stone Gossard, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a special Rewind episode, but we're looking back at two of my interviews with members of the B-52s, Cindy Wilson and Kate Pearson. Because what happens when two legends of camp and cosmic rock step out from the mothership? Well, Cindy and Kate talk about life outside of the B-52s, because after more than 40 years of party starting, who wouldn't need some me time? Cindy waxes poetic about her not-so-solo project, armed with art installations and something she called Turbo Chill. Meanwhile, Kate goes on to revisit the band's formative years, shouts out Georgia's music scene despite its initial indifference to their lobster-themed antics, and reveals why they may never be another B-52's album. Spoiler, it's hard to jam when everyone's busy writing songs with Sia or about walls. Nostalgia, chaos, and a dash of the absurd. Just like the band itself, let's get into this. It's Kyle Meredith with the B-52s. Let's start with Cindy Wilson.
Hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're excited to have you up. I know you're going to be in Louisville, looks like, June 30th at Zanzibar. So it's going to be great to see you on this solo run.
Yeah, I'm really excited about coming and sharing the new music, you know, with my new solo band. Yeah. So we're doing a little bit of a tour, and it just gets better and better, you know, doing it live. So exciting.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this music, because I guess this is what we say, the very first solo material from you after, I don't know what, 4 decades in the business. Congratulations, you're finally a solo artist.
Well, actually, it's not a solo as far as solos go. I mean, I've got a great band, and we, you know, wrote together, and, you know, they brought in songs. So it's really lets me kind of stretch my, you know, singing styles, and I try to be conceptually modern. We've got a show that we have images on the back. It's kind of art, very art-oriented, and I'm loving the way it's going. So it really is a more than just a solo. I've got such great people and great musicians around me.
Well, I know everyone's kind of pointed to the style, too, because obviously this is not the B-52s. This is something very different. And I don't know. I mean, as you're saying, it's nice to stretch out because I guess with the B-52s, you're sort of held to a style that you're able to let loose on this, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky because we did have the freedom in the B-52s to do anything we wanted. There was a style that we did have. But we could do, it was amazing, we could do 2 girl singer songs, 1 girl singer song, you know, Fred's song with us as the backup, and just a bunch of different mixes, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we did have a lot of versatility in our group, and there is so much creativity that, I mean, we have like amazing amount of old tapes that we wrote the music from. I would love to go back and and listen to them, because there's great ideas we had to throw away just because they didn't fit in this particular song. So you know, yeah, we had a lot to choose from. So, you know, it was an embarrassment of riches of ideas, really. Yeah.
And is that why, you know, this is never, you've never taken this leap before, just because the freedom was always there to be creative?
Maybe so, you're right. And, you know, at the same time, I met the right people to work with, and it's just turned out really well. I mean, I had no expectations. That's a great way to go into projects. That's how the B-52s were doing Cosmic Thing. You know, we just went in just to play around and kind of heal from the Ricky's death, and then that became one of our monster records, you know. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen to my project, but it's a great way just to go in and be relaxed and do your thing.
Yeah, I mean it's certainly cool. I mean, I can see, because you've done so many styles over these EPs. I mean, there's an electronic sound, there's a shoegaze sound, there's definitely some great pop and psychedelic. I will say that all of it has a bit of this sultriness to it that I, you know, and I see you keep hashtagging things turbo chill. So I've just given in to that's what the sound is for these EPs is turbo chill. Like, how did you come upon this sound? Where did all this come from?
Oh, that came from, well, the stupid morning show on, I forget the name of it, but they had a hashtag turbo chill, and we thought that was the best thing. We're just laughing our booties off about that. So we thought, well, that's great. Let's use that, you know, for fun. And so that's what happened with that. But it's a, you know, people, fans that were expecting, you know, maybe B-52 rocker, you know, there's more, you know, slow songs, mm-hmm. you know, but now we've been putting more rockers in, so there'll be more up-tempo stuff too on the tour.
But I love the slow stuff. I mean, Sunrise, you know, when I first heard that.
Oh, well, thank you.
What a beautiful song, you know, and there's so many of these. Is there a threat, like, because there's 2 EPs now. You have Supernatural that came out, at the end of last mm-hmm. year, I guess, and Sunrise that came out recently. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between them, like a thread that holds the individual EPs together, or is that just how the songs landed?
Basically, how the songs landed with the EPs. But we're having the record come out. I can't tell you. We've got a West Coast record label lined up, and I can't tell you who it is, but yet. Mm-hmm. But it's due to come out in November, I think. And so we did study how to the sequence of the songs and how they flow and the meaning. And it is really wonderful how the record and the show just like flows like a natural organic like a river or something, you know, and it doesn't ever stop. It just till the end. So it's like a ride, and it's really arty, and I love the way we're doing it.
Is the album going to be these two EPs, or are there going to be more songs that we haven't heard yet?
No, there's more songs you haven't heard.
So that and those are going to be on the
album.
So
that's exciting. Yeah. Awesome. And there's some really great ones, you know. We're tickled to put on.
That's a lot of music right at once for sort of an announcement.
Well, we've been
I
know. We've been writing for 3 years, and we're going to keep content going, you know. So yeah, I think that's the modern way now.
It is, yeah.
Content. So that's what we're going to do, you know, plus do a little bit of touring.
Yeah. Like I said, I love it. What I've heard so far, it is really surprising too, you know, because you never know what to expect when somebody steps out, and especially when you've been so known for something. So to have, you know, this blast of
creativity. I know people think I'm crazy for doing it, but I just loved it. It came out so well. So
yeah.
I'm going to get out there by God, and we're going to do this thing.
Well.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, we're excited to see you. And again, June 30th here in Louisville. And I know this is also, yeah. I got to bring it up, the 40th anniversary of your other little thing that you do with the B-52s.
Yeah, can you believe it?
40 years. I mean,
years.
Are you guys celebrating the whole year? Is it just touring or anything special to go along
with
that?
Yeah. It's going to be a 3-year tour. You know, we're going to really step it up. It's going to be amazing schedule that we're going to have. You know, plus my solo thing, so it's going to be a lot of doing.
You're busy.
But we're real excited to be doing it, and but we're going to be putting in some unexpected hits or our B-sides and freshening up our show, so it's really going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. And by the time you're done with it, it'll be the 50th anniversary.
Oh, shut up.
It's nice, though. I'm so happy you guys are still at it and doing it. I do love the band, and again, I love these EPs, so I cannot wait for the album in November. That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, too, and thanks for talking, and we'll see you at the end of June.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Now let's go to part two, my conversation with Kate Pearson of the B-52s.
Good.
I feel like we got a few things to talk about because there's a big anniversary, but there's also a couple small anniversaries with Funplex being 10 years old and the Greatest Hits Time Capsule being 20, and I want to get to those. But I thought with it sort of being, you know, a 40th anniversary of your first recording that we can start from the beginning. As I look back on 40 years of the B-52s, and especially 1978, I started thinking how amazing the fact that this came out, you know, setting aside what Athens was, but that it came out of Georgia in the South, the sound of the B-52s, you know, that you all found each other and found this sound. Does it strike you as kind of amazing the type of band that you were able to come out of that part of the country?
Well, when I first moved to Athens, it was like a farmer's town. I mean, it's a university town, but, you know, at the same time, there wasn't like any kind of punk scene or new wave scene. It was just really Southern boogie was king then. But, I mean, if you think of all the musicians that came out of Georgia, I mean, it's just like, whoa. You know, it's really like a very, you know, music place. James Brown, and you name it, you know, there's so many musicians. So I think, you know, the music tradition in Georgia, but it was really like disco, and we used to crash this disco that was in Athens, and we'd kind of, you know, be punks, and we'd go in there and dance wildly, and, you know, there was really just the farmer's hardware and a seed and feed store, and it really wasn't like definitely not a music scene happening there. It was, the university was very disconnected from the town, too. So it was really a farmer's town, and when we started, we were influenced, of course, by punk stuff that was happening. The Sex Pistols came through and played in Atlanta, and one of our friends bought Patti Smith's first single called Piss Factory, and, you know, ordered it from a magazine. So, you know, it was kind of obscure, but we related to that immediately, and Blondie and Talking Heads and Devo and everything that was happening. So there was a punk band in Atlanta, the only one, called The Fan, and they were really the first band that kind of connected with that told us, hey, maybe you should go to New York City and play. And we're like, oh yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we, you know, our dream was maybe we could play in Atlanta. We really started the Athens music scene, I have to say.
Yeah, right.
And people reacted when we went up to New York and played at Max's Kansas City. It was kind of like this disbelief, like you're from Georgia or maybe you're from England. That's what people thought. We were from England. Art students from England. And Cindy and I were drag queens. And, you know, we were just such an anomaly.
It's so interesting. And having the sound that you all did, I mean, there was a new wave thing sort of happening and a lot of underground sounds, but what you all did was so unique versus everyone else, especially with the three vocals. I mean, listening back, they always seem so perfectly placed. And I feel like that could have so easily been disaster, having that call and response happen so often. How did you all figure out that process? Or did that just sort of magically happen?
Well, that did just sort of magically combust because the template was set the first night we had a flaming volcano together in a Hunan Chinese restaurant, and we couldn't afford food, so we got a drink, and we shared it, and there were six of us, actually, all of us in the band, Keith, Ricky, Cindy, me, Fred, and then our friend Owen Scott. So he said, let's go to my house and hang out. And his basement, he was in a rock band that Keith sometimes subbed as the drummer called Bambo Flirt. So he went up to write a paper. He's a clinical psychologist now. And the rest of us started jamming in his basement. And we wrote this song called Killer Bees. So the template of jamming was set that night where we were all like spontaneously jamming, playing at the same time, the three of us singing and Keith and Ricky playing instruments. And it turned out I had taken piano lessons, and I was, you know, when I was in high school, junior high. So I played guitar. So I wound up playing the bass parts on a keyboard and the keyboard parts and some guitar. So, you know, other than that, the three of us were the vocalists. No one would have said, hey, let's start a band and let's have three vocalists. Like, it just sort of happened because that's the way we jammed. And we just kept that formula because it worked. It just clicked. Nobody said, let's form a band. Nobody said, hey, you know, let's get this band together. It just happened that night by spontaneous combustion. And, you know, we kept, you know, Fred told his friend that we had a band that she asked us to play at her Valentine's Day party. We hardly had any songs, but, you know, we had to own up to that party. So that's how we kept going.
It is incredible. So, yeah, then the single Rock Lobster happens. And that's actually, I believe, the start of the official recording career, right? 40 years ago?
Yes, our first official show was in 1976. 1977, and the single came out, I guess, in 1978. But our friend Danny Beard, who accompanied us up to New York on our first trip up there, he decided he would, finance the recording of the single and start a record label called CB Records. And he got the sleeves, and I remember him stuffing the records into the sleeves and sending them up to Bleecker Bob's in New York. And when we went up there, well, Bleecker Bob said he never got them and he never paid us, but we got to New York and he had our single all over the window. And that helped us a lot, though, I think, just the fact that they were selling in New York, we were playing there, and there was this buzz because, we just went up and we didn't have any publicity. We played in the CBGBs, and we played Max's Kansas City first, and it created this buzz because it was very cooperative in that time. Like, other bands would say, hey, there's a new band, check it out. It was like a small scene, so it wasn't like, a competition. It was like, let's all, see each other and kind of hang together. So it was a really fun scene up there in New York. And we didn't stay very long. We'd come up, we'd play, we'd stay, on someone's floor or someone's apartment. We'd go back to Georgia, write a couple more songs, practice, come up and play again. So after, months of doing that, we started creating this real buzz. So indie radio picked up on, Rock Lobster, which was really what really broke the band.
With a song like that, and now, like I said, New Wave is its own thing happening. It definitely sounds different than everything else. But were you ever worried about being taken seriously and not as a novelty as that song might first suggest?
Well, in truth, we didn't think about it. We did not even think about it. And we were not ambitious. We were just happy to play. We did it for fun. We wanted to dance. We wanted to create dance music. There was nothing to do in Athens. So, we decided to start a band for fun. And it wasn't like we had, oh my God, we got to get a number one hit or anything. It was just, for our own pleasure. I mean, of course, we were thrilled that people loved it. And then we got more ambitious, at least to keep playing. But, we didn't really think, of course we thought, this is a weird song, are people going to like it? But people loved it. So yeah. We got this great reaction from our friends. We went up and played, and every time we played it, we got a great reaction. So it's like, wow, who knows why, But to me, it's really this incredible guitar licks, combined with everything else. I mean, it's a great song and the unusual subject matter. But yes, that did kind of categorize us as a band that just so silly, and we just do lists. I've read people saying, it's just a list. But it's more than a list. It's a list of incredible sea creatures and crustaceans. What
right.
more can you want, with the fish sounds and everything. And it's just incredible dance. It's got, funny lyrics, boys in bikinis, girls in surfboards, rocking around the fire, having fun, baking potatoes, baking in the sun. I love the, past the lifeguard. It's got a lot of gay references, and it's a very, kind of sly, funny, incredibly danceable song. So now I'm not surprised it was such a hit, but at the time we didn't know how people would react.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Kate Pearson of B-52s.
You all were so much a part of the 80s style, and the 80s had a great style, but there was the sexuality part of it. Did you ever have a problem with mainstream acceptance? Because beyond the fashion, there was still heavy prejudices against sexuality. And I know that was sort of part of your story.
Well, I think, looking back at the time, I didn't put that into the equation. But looking back, I think now, because there were men and women in the band, like front women and Fred, and it's obviously gay. And I think that really did work against us in terms of, not in terms of public acceptance, but I think in terms of radio play maybe, or, just the record company support. But I don't know. It seems like the being taken seriously part that could have played into it, because we had a sense of humor too. And there aren't many bands that are musically serious but have a sense of humor lyrically, and playful, and yet have messages. And we've always stood behind political causes, and especially after Ricky died, we became very much more involved in trying to support political causes without hitting people over the head with political songs necessarily, although that's in our lyrics.
So 10 years later, you get your first greatest hits with Time Capsule. I think you toured with the Pretenders that year. There's a song called Debbie on it. That's about Debbie Harry, I read, right?
Yes, our hero. Well, when we first came to New York, they invited us over to their apartment, and they had all these gold records just stacked against the walls. You know, they hadn't hung them up at all. And it was just, it was amazing how casual they were and how great they were and how punk Debbie is. She's the coolest person ever. So we decided to write a song about her, and there was a little twist at the end. And it's just that I really like that song. I'd like to play that live maybe during this tour.
And then I'll go, you know, it was 10 years further than that, 2008, right? Funplex comes out. It was the first record in 16 years, and it's now your most recent record. I'd like to hit on that a little bit, because what brought you together? Because 16 years is a while to go, and it's such a great, fantastic record that probably gets a little bit overlooked in your catalog.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did that record really for the fans who wanted new music. We, again, weren't thinking about commercial success that much, because right when we put that out, that was exactly the time all the record companies were imploding. And, you know, we had people coming to support the tour saying, I think I'm your radio rep. I think I still have a job, or from the record company. You know, so people didn't know what was happening. Things were really imploding. There wasn't any real support because things were just crashing. And, you know, but the record, you know, the tour was great. We love that record. And we sing, you know, Funplex in our, usually on our set list, or pick at least one song from that. But it didn't get its due. That's true. But we did it for the fans more than for commercial success. And when people said, oh, it's been 16 years, none of us could believe it. It was, time flew. I really didn't realize how much time had passed since the record before that. And I'm pretty sure there's not going to be another full-length record by the B-52s, but we may be able to do a couple of songs, a couple of collaborations. We're hoping to do something, just a single here and there. That's possible. Because it's hard for us to come together. It's hard. We live in different places, and that was very difficult because we all had to converge in Athens and Atlanta to write. And the way we write, by jamming and sort of collaging the pieces together, it's very time consuming. But each time we met, we had a song. So we had to keep, you know, flying down to Georgia, which is always great to be in Athens and Atlanta. And we recorded in part of it in Athens, which is amazing.
Well, I'm sad to hear there might not be another record, but it's exciting, you know, because it just shows, especially with that record, how good you all still are together in the studio. So, the chance at some more singles, at least, I'll definitely take that. And compliments as I'm exiting here on that solo record that you put out a few years ago, with maybe there not being another B-52s album, does the solo work become front and center for you in the studio?
Well, I have the second one in the can, basically, and I'm hoping to release that and finish that when we finish this tour. And I have songs that I had previously written when I was writing with Sia and writers that she worked with. And I've been writing with Chris Braid, who worked with Sia and a lot of other artists. He's a very well-known writer, and he's a great singer too. But so I've written over the winter a few more songs with him, and also with Alex Sintek, who's a really amazing Mexican artist, very famous in Mexico. And we wrote a song about the wall, so that's I'm hoping to release that. And Cindy has a solo album that she toured for this winter, mm-hmm. and Fred released another solo record. So we're all working on that, but we can't seem to come together to do another B-52s record. But that really depends on Keith Strickland, too. He's been the sort of driving force because after Ricky died, he was the one that did all the instrumentation. And our sort of format changed a bit from maybe Keith and Ricky writing the music or jamming while we all jammed, to Keith really composing the soundtrack. And then Cindy and Fred and I would jam on the melodies and harmonies and lyrics. And Fred's brought a lot of the lyric titles, you know, like Private Idaho. And then we would, sometimes the title is the catalyst for, you know, everything else. But, you know, we all write together, and it's really, it makes us unique. That's what makes us unique.
Well, I love hearing what you all do. I am enjoying the solo records, yours, Cindy's as well, and of course Fred's. Thank you so much for allowing me this time with you today, and congratulations, 40 years. It's pretty amazing, and it's Woo-hoo! Been a lot of fun.
Thank you, and thanks for having an independent radio station, because that's what's very important right now to keep indie radio going. So please, everyone, support their independent radio station.
And my thanks to Kate and to Cindy. By the way, for those keeping the records, the Kate Pearson interview from 2018 and the Cindy Wilson interview from 2017. So thanks to Kate and Cindy. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while, before you get out of here so you can get all the interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to leave the series a rating and review while you're at it. After all that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern, with a show packed full of music. 4 hours, in fact, of classics from the 80s and 90s. The best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows, in fact, featured some classics and favorites from the Dwight Twiley Band, Gloria Jones, The Replacements, Sonny War, Gillian Welch, Odetta, ZZ Top, Peter, Paul and Mary, Foo Fighters, The Y Store, Corin Tucker of Slater Kinney, Scarlett Johansson, Jensen McRae, Nada Surf, The Gets, Catherine Will, Till Tuesday, Elbow, and my interview with actor Jeff Daniels of the Newsroom and Dumb and Dumber fame, talking about his music as well. That's what you can get weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.